Good morning. Today is Tuesday. It is the 2nd of May. The tooth?
May, yes.
Yeah. You realize you're here, Mr. McCauley, on one of 2 out of 5 days. Every other one is a big day. May 1st.
Uh-huh.
May 4th.
Uh-huh.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
And you're the tooth.
I'm the tooth.
Yeah.
I'm part deux.
Yeah. I know. The D-U-H thing is there.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our Why Do We Say It?
I am.
Really?
I'm ready to get it wrong.
Bumped off.
Bumped.
Why do we say someone is bumped off?
I have no idea. I'm not even going to take a shot at that. Bumped off.
During races on the Thames and other rivers of England, boats were launched one at a time. When a crew caught up with a rival and bumped its shell, the latter was disqualified. Popular meets meant heavy gambling, so many a spectator groaned or cheered when a boat was bumped out of the race. London's underworld borrowed from the sporting world and began to say that a person coming to a violent end had been bumped off. Famous mystery writer Edgar Wallace picked up the expression and used it in some of his thrillers. During the Prohibition era, gangsters bumped off so many rivals that the boating term from England became fixed in American speech.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So it was a sporting phrase.
It's not Thames. Something like
Thames.
No. Not Thames or Thames.
You think it's
Thames?
Thames.
Thames, the river.
Thames.
Yeah. That, well, those of us who are culturally aware would not call it the Thames.
Me in England, Benny Hill. Natalia, you probably don't even recognize Benny Hill, do you?
No, she's...
I had to introduce her one Saturday. She's in kind of following Rod here a little bit, to the concept of Blazing Saddles.
Yes. Well, see, Blazing Saddles is a movie that would not get made.
And the horse punch.
Yeah.
She had never seen that before. Yeah. Screwed her up for 2 or 3 days.
No. Yeah. It's cinematic.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
I've got the real one, though.
I don't think Alex Karras really punched the horse.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
But the horse dropped her just like he had.
Yeah, there's a lot in that movie that
seared in our memory banks.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's even... Anyway, there's a lot of movies that have stuff in it that, you know... Actually, I didn't watch it. I watched part of Airplane.
Yeah.
And I went... Oh, I don't think they'd make that anymore.
Not Roger, yeah. Roger.
Anyway, no, that part was over. Yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah. Well, tax season isn't over, is it?
Not entirely, no.
Lingering?
Yeah, it's the season that wouldn't end.
How many folks do you sense are taking advantage of this extended payback period?
I would say the minority.
Just probably out of habit?
Yeah. And I think, well, first of all, and I don't know exactly what the percentages are, but, you know, a large percentage of Americans, when they file their taxes, get a refund. So why would you want to delay?
Really? A majority do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. A large percentage get a refund. So the people that are getting refunds, there's no real...
Well, sure, you're going to accelerate that thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to wait till October. I'm going to show them I'm waiting till October 15th to file this baby.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. The other thing is, you know, I think most people kind of, there's a rhythm to it. And people want to be done with it. And even if they owe money, they kind of want to know how much
get,
do I
get
owe.
It off the table.
And so some, we have some clients who we finished their tax returns, but they're choosing to wait to file and choosing to wait to pay because, you know, they owe some tax and they're going to have an event later in the year that's going to generate some cash flow, and so they're deciding to wait. There's some other people who are taking the money that they'd be paying in their taxes, putting it in a CD, and getting 5 months of interest before they file.
Oh, now you say that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, anyway.
There's some strategy, yeah.
There are, and then there's the people who really are lucking out, so to speak, are those people who don't get their act together and don't file on time ever. And filing on time is just, you know, they get an automatic extension for filing and payment. And keep in mind, I mean, this extended window I shouldn't even use the word extension because technically it's not an extension, but the
latent pay period.
Yeah, the delayed filing and payment deadline is for most Californians, because unless you live in three California counties somewhere, Shasta, Lassen, maybe Modoc, I can't remember what the third one is. The three counties, those are the only three counties where there wasn't a federal disaster declaration and there has not been extended time for filing.
Only three?
Only three of the California's 58 counties.
And Shasta didn't make it, huh?
Shasta didn't make it.
That's intriguing. Well, that's okay. At least there wasn't a volcanic event that all three of them could have qualified with.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Mr. Bill McCauley.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with noted CPA Bill McCauley.
Hey there.
Okay, maybe just CPA Bill McCauley.
Hey. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so your kids are understanding truly how demented you become.
Yep. You know, you get your kids that are in their mid-30s or whatever, you know. If you stop and do the math,
it's not,
you're old.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. and it becomes a higher level of math now, too.
Yeah, I have to take my shoes off, and then I have to take somebody else's shoes off. It gets complicated.
Well, that's how you make your neighbors. Mm. So we've got the tax returns that may have been prepared, may not have been prepared.
Yeah.
I know this sounds kind of goofy at this point of the year, but has the taxing entities that do exist, have they come down with a final determination and interpretation on all the rules that you were waiting for at the turn of the calendar year?
Yeah, mostly, yeah. I think we kind of know what the tax year looks like now. You know, some of the things, you know, we went into February and March, things we weren't sure about how to deal with, and or, you know, the things awaited. You know, we use professional tax preparation software that's developed for people who do more than one tax return. And so, you know,
you mean the industrial version?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And yet, they have to work with the IRS and the Franchise Tax Board and the other taxing authorities to be able to have the software ready and available. And so, as forms are delayed on the IRS side, as an example, then when that form comes out, the software developers have to work with the IRS to make sure that what their system is feeding into the IRS to fill that form, because keep in mind it's going in as ones and zeros. Not, you know, I mean, we're transferring.
Oh, that
data.
Binary thing?
We're transferring, you know.
It's the only thing I remember from computer class.
Right.
Binary.
Yes, binary.
Okay.
Very good, Brian.
Thanks.
So data is passing. You know, even though we look at it when I'm preparing the return and I see on my screen a tax form that I can quickly print or generate a PDF or whatever, what is actually transmitting to the taxing authorities is bits of data. And so our tax software company and the IRS, the Franchise Tax Board, the Oregon Department of Revenue, you know, and it goes on, because we file some returns across the country. each one of those has to fit so that that data comes through correctly. And so the longer it takes, as an example, the IRS to develop a form, the longer it takes for the developer to program it, and then they test it. So there's this delay window between, oh, the IRS made, you know, the form 1118 available, which is which was late, by the way. That was corporate foreign tax form. They made that available, and then it took weeks following the IRS making the form final before we could actually use the form. So
a series of delays even after
release. So that creates a problem because yeah. I pretty much know what's going to go on that form and where it should go, but I can't see it yet because the IRS hadn't made it final. Oh, now I can see it, but I can't print it. It's going to print with a barcode that says it's not final and it hasn't been approved for filing purposes, et cetera. So you end up with this delay that goes on and on in terms of trying to have availability of forms and things that we need to be able to complete all the returns that are out there. That was not my phone, by the way.
No, it was mine.
Okay. Just the radio amateur has his phone on silent.
Yeah, good. And I have mine on Jimmy Buffett like it belongs.
Yeah. Well, my ringer's Monday Night Football's theme song.
Oh, is it?
Theme music, so yeah.
The new one or the old one?
The old one.
The real one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
so with all these delays that go on, it was intriguing for me. I flashed those states that don't have income tax. Do they still have to file?
Mostly not. In Florida, as an example, there's an intangibles tax. So there are Texas.
What is an intangibles tax? Do you work with anybody out of Florida?
Not really at this point, okay. But it can be for. For certain types of investments, there can be some kind of reporting that's necessary for their intangibles okay. tax. Texas has a franchise tax that corporations file. So the
nuances,
individual income tax returns is pretty easy in some states. You know, Wyoming doesn't have a tax return. I don't have to worry about Wyoming. Washington doesn't have a tax return. But Nevada, no tax return. But Texas, no tax return. But then there are some... You just got to be careful. You just can't blindly go forward and say, well, there's no filing requirement there. Are you sure? And so we have services that help us identify any filing requirements that might be there for somebody who has some ties to other states.
Now, most of us are familiar with the basic numbers that we see with the tax returns.
Really?
Well, okay, like a 1040, for example.
Okay.
Are there 1,039 other forms that preceded the 1040, or
no, but there are hundreds and hundreds of forms, and the numbers get up into the 9,000s. So for federal, plus all the states and whatnot, so there, I can't tell you exactly how many tax forms there are, but no, they are not all consecutively numbered.
And you don't have enough wall space to print one copy of each and frame it.
No, I wonder how far
that would be kind of impressive.
I wonder
if
you could do that and get to like Garberville or something.
Yeah.
Start putting, I honestly don't know.
Well, it depends if you use both sides of the paper and you're efficient. KINS News and Information Time is 8:30. We'll be back.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So, Bill, with the tax filing extension period thing that happened this year, for those folks that have opted to delay the payment and the filing, Doesn't mean that that's going to be a rollover next year.
No, it does not. However, the filing delay, pushing the filing deadline back and payment deadline back to October 15th, also pushed back estimated tax payments for 2023. So if, as an example, let's take a taxpayer that pays all their tax by estimated taxes. And so every, for during 2022, they paid estimated taxes for the 2022 year of $10,000, got to the end of the year and they owed another thousand. So they paid it. They had $1,000 due at April 15th, April 18th as the case is this year. For next year, for most people whose income's under $150,000, they would, in order to pay their estimated taxes, they just pay an amount equal to the prior year's tax over four quarters.
So you take out
unless
an extra $250 per quarter.
Because the quarters are, there's only three quarters you pay, but that's a whole other matter. It's just California. California is embarrassing. When you
so we have,
but
thirds?
Anyway, that's a whole other matter.
We have thirds instead of quarters?
No.
Or we just
not.
Can't count to
it's
four.
30% the first quarter, 40% the second quarter, zero the third quarter, and 30% the fourth quarter. And
does that happen to correspond with their fiscal year?
It does.
Oh.
It gets 70% of the money in before June 30th, that way.
And no tax payment after Christmas?
Well, no, you pay that one after Christmas, but you don't have to pay one in September, so you can start
shopping. September's the one. Okay.
Anyway, the point being, in my example, you got somebody who owed $11,000 in tax for 2020. Their tax liability for 2022 is $11,000. They paid $10,000, so they owe $1,000. They don't actually have to pay that $1,000 until October 15th, 2023, this year only. Next year, it'll be due April 15th, unless or April, whatever.
Something
whatever
happens,
that day
yeah.
ends up being next year, the mid-April date. Unless something else weird happens, but this one's as weird as any I've ever seen, for this payment deadline extension pushback, whatever you want to call it. So then they would start paying based on the $11,000 for 2023 in a normal year. You'd owe a quarter of it for federal purposes in April, a quarter in June, a quarter in September, and a quarter at the end of the year. None of those first three payments are due until October 15th.
But all three of them are due October 15th?
Yes. So,
so the
you
trifecta.
You could wait and say, I'm not going to pay the $1,000 I owe for 2022, and I'm not going to pay, and I'm going to owe $2,750
right.
per quarter for my quarterly estimated taxes. So I don't pay $2,750 in April. I don't pay $2,750 in June. I don't pay $2,750 in September. October 15th, I can pay that accumulation plus the $1,000 without penalty, without interest. That's unusual. Normally, if you would get to October, get to April 15th and get an extension, the tax is due then. And if the tax is short, you could be subject to interest and penalties if you're short. So that's really where it's really different. Plus, from a cash flow standpoint, taxpayers need to understand that they're robbing from Peter to pay Paul, in a sense, because that tax is still out there. And if
it's
they don't
coming,
pay it
coming
at
due,
October
yeah.
15th, then they're likely to be subject to a penalty.
From the 15th of October or back
this
from
year,
April?
From the 15th of October.
Okay.
But anyway, it's going to be – here's – another issue, we don't even know how this is going to settle out. We don't know what the how the IRS's archaic computer system is going to handle all these deadline changes. Keep in mind, the IRS has made a couple of attempts at upgrading their fundamental systems for tax administration, and they've failed a couple times. So this is a lot of what they're doing right now, a lot of their architecture for the IRS IT system is by IT systems ancient. And so
so not only trying to upgrade for the future, they're also having to upgrade
yeah,
for the past.
Yeah, so they're going to have to figure out how, you know, they're going to have to figure out how to build in flexibility in an old system. That's not easy. right? It's designed to do things on certain dates and then and generate correspondence on certain dates. And we still don't know, are our clients who have filed the tax return but have chosen not to pay yet, are they going to get correspondence going, hey, you owe this tax they don't really owe yet? The IRS says they can sort that by address, but that may
what
or may not.
Good as the address is a cross-reference.
Well, the address might tell them it's in a disaster county in California.
Oh, that it might qualify for the
delay. Yeah,
that
it might qualify. But then think about the situation where you have a taxpayer who lives in Humboldt County, subject to these disaster deferral payment deferrals and filing deferrals, but they're in a senior living facility and their daughter who lives in Colorado is the person who files the tax returns for them. So we use that address in the tax return. Now, how is the IRS going to know that that's a, you know, for sure, that that's a Humboldt County resident that's eligible for this deferral? We don't really know.
How's your letter writing pool?
I think we're likely to, we may end up with form letters out of this. We just don't know.
fill in the blank. You know, when you fill in the blank, don't use Crayola. I've found that to be kind of a dissuader, yeah.
Oh, well.
Other than signature.
Yeah. Generally, and don't use sarcasm. The only time I've ever had the ability.
Maybe that was the reason.
I used sarcasm when I got a notice one time that was stupid, and so I got to write a letter that was very sarcastic to the Franchise Tax Board.
Yeah.
Because they were really stupid.
How did they respond?
Nothing, but the issue went away. So.
Oh.
They're just waiting to hammer me.
So, So, okay, you're not the king of sarcastic writing to governmental authorities.
No, I only did it on my own.
You're not going to contract out on
that
one?
No, I'm not going to do that, and I don't think it's generally a very good idea. As a matter of fact, it's probably a stupid idea.
Yeah, but it'd be such a personality change I'd have to go through in order to accomplish that.
To get to sarcasm?
No. Step away.
Yeah. So anyway, we're a little worried about what California's going to do, too. They're also going to be faced with this uneven set of rules throughout the state where, you know, if you're in Shasta County, you know, you're not eligible. And if you're in, you know, a neighboring county, you are. And it's all, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. We're anticipating there's going to be more correspondence,
updates, things
we deal with this year. That been said,
how do you get the correspondence? They send you an email? They send you a form letter and say, here's what the new rulings are? Yeah, as a taxpayer, not as a taxpayer.
Well, if our client gets a letter, they generally call us or email us or something and say, hey, I got this notice. And then we'll generally say, you know, and a lot of times client will call and say, I've got this notice, and they're trying to tell you what's on the notice. And it's like, I just really need to see it because it's, you know.
So it's an individual by individual, not
industry-wide.
Yeah,
it really is. Most of the time sometimes somebody can read the first paragraph. I know what's in the notice. I know what they're asking. I kind of know. Other times, it's like, I'm not quite sure. I really think I need to see the notice. The other thing is clients will get a refund check. And then they'll say, I got this refund check. I don't know what it is. And I'll say, well, there's codes on it that I can probably tell what it is. You know, can you get me a copy of the check so I can look at it, so I can see if I can ascertain how much of it's interest and how much of it's not, and whether it's for a 1040 or whether it's for a payroll report or what this refund is. Often the codes on the check will tell you that. And so, you know, so again, it comes down to getting enough information to be able to respond and provide useful assistance to the client about how to deal with it.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with CPA Bill McCauley.
Don't leave now.
Just stretching.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised a man of your age has that limberness still to be able to do that. Your knees are a long way down.
Did you hear me go?
Yeah. I did hear a couple things go.
tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody doesn't pay the proper amount or doesn't withhold enough, then the next year they get some enforced payment suggestions? Is that kind of how it goes?
So if, as an example, if I complete my return, let's say I don't have estimated tax, I have withholding from my wages, and I've got some other sources of income. I get to the end of the year, in my same example before, I got $11,000 of federal tax, and I've had $10,000 of withholding. At that point, when you file your return, that $1,000 is due for 2022. The other issue we start talking with clients is, if this is the new norm, do we need to talk about you adjusting your withholding a little bit? And it depends on people's, you know, if you pay in at least 90% of the prior year's tax and most of your income subject to withholding, you're generally not going to get a penalty. But
kind of fair effort.
Yeah. But a lot of people, okay, I'm not going to be penalized, but I just don't like having a big balance due. And so, you know, we try to work with them and say, okay, well, let's tweak your withholding a little bit, and we'll see if we can get you closer to where you want to be. Some clients like a giant refund, so they over-withhold because they like to have a giant refund. And some clients would rather owe money because they don't want to, in effect, in their mind, loan money to the government. And you got other people who like to use the government as a savings account. So it's just everybody's different. And, you know, that's part of our responsibility when we work with clients, is to figure out who they are and what they like. Because, you know, I also feel like my job is to try to help people avoid surprises. So if a client involves me in planning, you know, generally we can help them avoid a surprise. It doesn't mean they're necessarily happy with the outcome, but at least it's not a surprise.
Right. It's not happy news, but at least you have some lead time on it.
But that comes at a cost, too, because that takes time to make to take those steps. So they have to be willing to pay for that. And so, you know, there's a balance to be struck. I mean, if you're trying to save, you know, $17 by incurring, you know, $150 of assistance or whatever, you know, I mean, there are some things that just the economics don't make sense. So you have to look at each situation and say, yeah, it does make sense here to try to avoid this, because if you get a penalty, it's going to be at this level, and it's worth spending $100 to avoid a $300
or mental calmness.
Yeah.
Yeah, or emotional calmness.
Right, and a lot of us just don't like having a penalty. The idea of having a penalty is really bothersome.
Yeah, it seems somehow like being penalized is not a positive thing in a lot of areas.
Right, and you feel like, well, that's money I shouldn't have had to spend. It's like, okay, but to save that $100 penalty, I probably would have had to use $200 of time. So do you want to pay $200 to save $100? Maybe that doesn't make sense. So it comes down to... And that
economics.
Sometimes it's not that the line's not that bright, but I mean, you know,
are there some scenarios where somebody can have zero deductions and still end up having additional taxes due?
Sure.
How does that? I mean, what does that person do? Say, okay, I'm going to declare a -3 on the deductions.
Well, yeah, I mean, it comes down to it depends on where your income comes from. I mean, if you have income that comes from investments, and then you have, so let's say I've got half my income comes from investments, half my income comes from my wage. Well, sometimes it's hard to get enough withholding on the wage to cover that additional income that isn't subject to withholding. So then a lot of those people end up in the estimated tax realm. That was a nice catch, Brian.
Maybe it's positive boating for the Warriors.
It appeared to be kind of an accidental catch, but it was good.
Hey, listen, if I didn't fumble it out of bounds, it goes down as good.
Nice.
Yeah, we are going to have to get a computer in here just so people can see the crab and the duck and the basketball.
Yeah, the basketball is getting a little...
I hope it's the basketball that LeBron gets tonight. 6:30 start on 95.5. Thanks for coming by, Billy.